This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Looking to improve your diet in the new year? Try seeing a personal dietitian with Nourish. Nourish has hundreds of dietitians who specialize in a variety of health concerns, including weight loss, gut health, and more. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your personal dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, anyone know what channel the game's on?
We know. Download the Sports on What app today and always know how to watch the game. Satellite, cable, or streaming. Sports on What knows the channel the game is on, and you can too. Subscribe today to start your 7-day free trial. Sports on What. We know.
99.9 KISW. The shenanigans continue. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
What's this one story you'll always remember about your travels? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Chris. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Yo, what's up?
Hola!
Hey, I thought that one woman had a terrible story and I could do better, but still in that green room, I might have lost focus here. So
okay.
Bear with me. So my nephew's having a graduation party and we're flying out to Buffalo, New York. He goes to RIT. I'm sure you know about that, Thrill.
Yes,
probably
indeed.
Had a garbage plate or two. A couple Jenny Creamers, whatnot.
Ew, man. Don't drink Jenny Cream Ale. That is a terrible, terrible beer. I love Rochester, but man, that beer is awful.
There's probably one beer I turn down anytime it's offered, not Jenny. That's only one. But family lives in Buffalo. We're flying out from Seattle. But the real piece of the story that's key is my mother-in-law is in from China. And she don't speak a lick of English.
All right.
Like, maybe thank you. That's about it. So we get that note that the plane's delayed coming in from Colorado to Seattle. So naturally, we're going to miss our connections. And, you know, everyone's had flight delays.
Of course.
That's really how we respond to this, you know, that makes the story. So anyway, like, you're not going to make your connection. It's like Seattle to D.C. to Buffalo. Not going to make your connection. So here's, and we're flying 2 days before the graduation party, so we think we got plenty of time. It's like, hey, this is what we can do to get you on time. We can send your wife to Detroit, you can go to Pittsburgh, and we'll send your mother-in-law to, like, Charlotte, and you guys can all rendezvous in Buffalo. Like, that's not going to work. So anyway, we're trying to cut a deal. Like, listen, why don't you just, we're going to come down to D.C., we'll just get off there, we'll get our bags, and then we'll figure it out from there. And anyway, they refused to give us our bags in D.C. Like, no, your bags have to go to Buffalo. And I'm like, I don't understand what you're saying. Like, do you realize you can't physically get us to Buffalo? Why would you send our bags to Buffalo? So needless to say, I came unglued at the airport. And finally, they worked it out. Like, I don't know why they wouldn't do it originally, but they worked it out to where, we end up in, take the red eye, land in D.C., come down, no problems. Well, now it's like, all right, let's go get a rental car, and we're going to drive from Buffalo to D.C. after being on the red eye here. So
it's about an eight-hour drive, somewhere around there.
Yeah, it's like 6-7 hours maybe. But, we're looking for the rental in the airport. Like, no problem. We'll go pick up our bags, find out where the rental car is, figure it out. Well, they got a shuttle bus driver to take you over to the rental car terminal, I guess, right?
Okay.
So now he starts asking us, he's like, hey, do you have a reservation? And I'm like, well, no, you know, we just you know, kind of winging it right now. So he refused to take us over there. So anyway, I started like wigging out again. So this is where like, you know, the F-bombs like really came in. But it was so cool to see my mother-in-law like have my back and be there like, you know, dropping F-bombs to the shuttle bus driver.
Wait,
and,
so the woman can only say thank you, can also say
drop F-bombs.
She learned F-bombs that weekend.
All right.
And so now, like, you know, I can say a few phrases in Chinese and whatnot. I've been there like 5-6 times, and we talk on the phone a little bit, like, just like briefly say hello, and that's about it. But now that's her thing. When she calls, like, she'll give me like an FU here and there.
So, well, did you make the celebration?
We did make the celebration.
Okay. All right. How did you end up getting there? Did you end up renting a car, or did you get another flight?
That's the whole thing. They're like, you got to go and like call from some payphone and make a reservation. So like, what are you talking about? And we go back in the airport. And so the lady is telling us that like one of those information booths, like they used to have in the shopping mall.
Yeah.
Like, go down there. There's a bank of phones. Like, I don't see nothing. So she's turns to her coworker like, hey, can you just watch the counter? I'm going to escort these people to phones. And she walks down with us. And then she's like, well, I don't understand. They used to be right here. I'm like, well, clearly they're not. Like, so, you know, what are we meant to do? But she's like, just get on. And fortunately, there was like, a, you know, it must have been between the loops or whatever. And there was another shuttle bus driver. And we just snuck on, like, play like, hey, you got a reservation? Like, yeah, we got a reservation.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I've never been asked that question, man. And all the times that I rent a car. Like, you just wait for the bus.
That satellite center is in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
So you wouldn't be getting on that bus if you weren't, your intent was not to get a car.
I didn't know. I mean,
there's only 9 different services you can get it from.
I can't imagine people getting on that bus just to ride it. It's not like the light rail or the bus downtown.
Right. It goes to one spot and then it goes back to the airport.
And generally, homeless people aren't at the airport.
That is, you know what? That is a strong point. I will say this. We were in D.C. and we had an early morning flight, like 7:30 or something. So it's about 4:30 in the morning. My wife and I were trying to return the rental car. And if you know anything about D.C., it's in an area called Crystal City. Okay?
All right.
But if you're not exactly sure how to get to Crystal, you can look at it. But to get there, if you don't know how to get there, you just don't know how to get there. So I can't remember what expressway we're on. But we're the only car on the road, and it's a rental. So we kept circling around. So we're like, man, we've got to find the exit to Crystal City. It's got to be here.
Well, also, you should mention, like, Crystal City's right there, the airport, then the Pentagon.
Right.
But it's very hard to get off the correct exit to get to that airport.
And so that's what we discovered. We knew the Pentagon was closed just because we're familiar with the area, but we're not giving it a lot of thought. We realized in our third loop around, and keep in mind, I'm on the phone with a guy that works at the rental car place, and I said, look, man, we've got the car. We just can't get to Crystal City, but he couldn't give us directions because he's like, man, I just know how to get there from my house. But I could not tell you, you know. Right. He has no idea. So, like, the third time we go around on this loop, my wife's like, is that car following us? And I look out the back window, and it's this black SUV. I said, man, they're probably looking for the rental place, too. Don't give it a thought. We circle around the fourth time. Well, now there are 3 black SUVs clearly following us. And I'm like, that's the Fed. Because we're circling around the Pentagon. They do not know who we are. I'm sure they've already run the license plate and everything they got to do. But I'm like, we need to find a 7 exit. We had to circle around one more time. We had 5 black SUVs.
They pull you over?
No. They just, because there's like no one on the road. There's us. There's these 5 black SUVs. And that's making me nervous. I'm like, babe, they're going to open fire and just like take our heads off or something. We finally found the exit and returned this goddamn car. But I was like, and the thing about it was when we found the exit, 2 of them followed us basically to the car drop-off place. And once they saw us walk in and hand over the keys and wait for the bus to take it, then they drove off. I was like, man, this is not cool.
What is the one story you'll always remember about your travels? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Tim. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, guys. How's it going today?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm going back to the 101 story just because it seemed relevant today. So me and my wife were taking a road trip down to Los Angeles, and I knew that I was going to go ahead and propose to her on that trip. So the main thing that it was, get down to San Francisco after 8 hours of driving and get down to the Golden Gate Bridge. We're all nasty looking and stuff like that. And as soon as we get down to the bottom and looking right at it, pop the question right then and there. And she literally asked me, like, are you sure?
That was her response.
that was her response right there with a massive smile and shock on her face. I was like, yeah, pretty sure I was sure about that. I've had this ring for 2 months now.
Well, that's cool. I'm assuming she followed that up with a yes.
She sure did.
And are you still married?
We are, yes. 3 lovely years and a whole lot more to go.
That's wonderful.
The nice thing is every time that we see the Golden Gate Bridge, it just goes ahead and reminds us of exactly where I popped the question. But the other fun thing about that trip was doing the adult version of seeing every 50 state. So we were able to knock out 3 right there.
Yeah. Now, that question.
Did you have a contingency plan if she said no?
I did. I was going to say, well, have fun getting home.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask. Right, like, yeah. Do you have a way to get home?
All right. Or you drive to the airport and then let her drive over.
Yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm.
What is the one story you'll always remember about your travels? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Scott. Welcome to the men's room.
Hello, can you hear me?
Hola. Yes, we can.
Hola. Hey, man, first time caller, long time listener. I've been waiting the last couple weeks for your question of the day to find something that was relevant. And I do have a story for you guys. But before I do that, I want to give a shout out to my buddy, Paul Alvarez, who passed away on February 3rd. Long battle in Harborview.
Oh, sorry to hear
really
that,
close friend. It was pretty brutal. And he was a huge fan of you guys.
All right.
So that means a lot taking my call.
Sorry to hear that, man.
Shout out to Paul. But, so my story involves, I was at the end of my college years, about 10 years ago now, and we were set to do this internship overseas, and it was supposed to be, you know, a celebratory thing. And you guys ever hear the Great White Buffalo?
You mean Ted Nugent?
I mean, I don't know if that's a thing, but the Great White Buffalo to me is the one that got away.
Oh, okay. I was thinking about the song
Ted Nugent.
From the Amboy Dukes.
Yeah, I know Ted Nugent. It's a little before my time, but at the same time, it's like one of my mom's bands, you know?
Yeah.
And so the Great White Buffalo, to me, is the one that got away. So we're planning this trip. We're going to go overseas, and this girl, and we'll call her Lindsay, is, you know, beautiful. And I'm like 25 at the time, so I'm thinking this is a locked-in deal. We're going to go do this internship. We're going to come back, you know, whatever happens there. So we planned this trip to Tokyo after our internship was in a different country. And turns out I get over here to this internship, and, you know, mind you, we're all college students, and there's 21 women and 3 guys. So you can do the math there. Pretty much messed it up the very first day. And I'll spare you the details. But fast forward to we get to Tokyo afterwards, and she doesn't want to go out, right? She's not feeling well. I clearly messed things up, but we still have this hotel plan. So I go out. I'm like, you know what? I'm only going to be in Tokyo for a couple nights. I'm going to go make the best of this thing. And I get out there. I'm just kind of roaming the streets in Tokyo. I don't know if you guys have ever been to Tokyo. But
nope, I have not.
It is truly an amazing city. And we're in this little, I don't know if you call it a province or a ward called Shibuya. You guys know the one, you know, you've seen the videos of everyone crossing the street crazy.
Yeah,
that's the spot, right? So I'm like, I'm hitting the town. And all the little 7-Elevens, they only got one whiskey in there, and it's Jim Beam. And they're little pint, like half pints. And they're like, well, you can't just walk around drinking that. It's like common knowledge. And I'm like, but is it illegal? And I'm like, and they're like, that's the most American thing we've heard, right? And, but mind you, I'm grabbing the half pints, and I'm walking around, and I run into these Navy guys. I'm like, you guys speak English? I'm coming with you. So we end up just like partying all night. And it was just like the craziest experience. And we hit this, like, the big cities have really crazy clubs and like party scenes, I guess, if you will, maybe New York, Tokyo or two I think of. And it's like the 6-story, you know, party DJs, everything. And we get into this one spot, and there's a DJ, and he pulls me up on stage. And I'm like, holy crap, what is going on right now? And I'm like sitting here in front of like a whole rave, and I'm thinking I'm in there for like an hour or two. And no, I walk outside and the birds are chirping. It's like 9 a.m. and there's like 3 Japanese girls with me. I'm walking back to the hotel apparently, and I just had to say goodbye. I walked back up there, and the rest was history, and that was my great white buffalo story.
Sounds like you lost Lindsay.
Would you do it again?
Gosh, you know, I've questioned that over the years here, but probably, but, you know.
You would.
How long were you dating her?
We weren't really dating. It was more of like a, man, I got this in the bag type of thing. And this is going to be my girl, going to come home. But, man, the odds were stacked against me on that trip.
Yeah, the odds were stacked against your brain and your penis.
Yeah. Because the penis wins. That's the thing. Yeah. The brain.
The odds were not stacked against you. Your body did exactly what it told you to do.
Yeah. Like your brain says, hey, man, you know better than this. Your penis is like, do not listen to your brain right now. I am in charge. Do you understand this?
What is the one story you'll always remember about your travels? 206-803-ROCK.
I mean, honestly, your penis is your biggest enemy.
Yeah.
If you're a dude.
It's not a devil. It's not a devil on your shoulders.
It's the penis. It is your penis. That is the devil on your shoulders.
Oh, you know better, but it's like, come on, let's just do it.
Yeah, your penis is like, look, man, first of all, I don't have eyes, so I don't even care what she looks like. Like, just do this. The brain sent me a signal that says I am ready for action. And once you tell me that, we're going to close the deal.
I think you made a couple bold moves. What's just taking a trip with a girl you haven't hooked up with.
To Tokyo.
Right, assuming you will.
Right.
You don't know. And then, she's angry at me. Let's go out and live it up first night.
So let's go drinking on the streets.
I feel like the rest of those nights must have sucked.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Hello, Annie. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
I have a story that takes place about 20 years ago when I was in my early 20s. My husband and I... Well, he's my husband now. He's my boyfriend then. Decided to go visit my grandpa in this little tiny town in Idaho. And my cousin, we visited there for years. My cousins have always warned me, you know, if you're driving and they see Washington plates, you're probably going to get pulled over by the police. So that was in my mind. So we're just crossed into Idaho. And my husband has some... open containers, I'm not drinking, and some weed. And if you know anything about Idaho, they do not
mess around with weed.
No.
Yeah.
No, not at all. So we're driving along on the freeway, and I see a police officer coming in past me, and I'm like, oh my God. Sure enough, I see him kind of U-turn, and I take off. I'm like, okay. This is not the smartest move as I'm reciting this story.
I thought you were going to say we threw open containers out of the window, but no, you just floored it.
No. So we hit this little town called Ferdinand, and I pull off. Somehow this police officer has not caught up to me. Maybe he's not as worried about it as I thought he was. And the whole time, you know, getting there like a mile, I'm totally freaked out. And they have like, it's a little tiny town. There's like a few houses and a diner. And so I, you know, park behind this diner, like I'm going to hide from the police here. And we go inside, you know, we calm down. Nothing's happened. No police have bust in. And I go to the restroom and I'm looking at the wall, and there's this huge, thick cutout of Adam. He's naked with only the fig leaf covering.
Like biblical Adam.
And I'm looking, yes, biblical Adam.
In the bathroom at a diner in Idaho. All right.
Yes. And so then I noticed that this fig leaf has hinges on the top of it.
Oh, no.
And so I'm washing my hands, and I'm looking, and I'm like, I'm going to see what is under there. So I lift up the leaf. And it's connected to a string that is connected to a bell in the kitchen. So you pull up that leaf, and the whole restaurant hears this loud bell, knowing that you're trying to peek at biblical Adam under his fig leaf.
That's brilliant.
So when you walk out of the bathroom,
yeah, you walk out.
Are they all waiting for you? Are they clapping for you? What?
Oh, yeah, no, they're all watching me as I come out. And
oh, how was Adam doing?
Smiling. And
that is great.
Yeah, that is. That's how they get you. Yeah. That's when you think you can sneak a look at some penis. Probably made your boyfriend proud, didn't it? Yeah, well, at least you tried to take a look.
So I'm guessing this is just like some...
He was like, what?
Like some highway diner where they know, like, everyone's just a traveler, you're never going to see him again.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. Good times. I like that move.
What is the one story that you will always remember about your travels? 206-803-ROCK.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
WNKISWHD1 Seattle. Always live on the free Odyssey app. From the Pinkies Plumbing Studio, you're in the men's room. Text the guys at 206-803-ROCK.
10 rock albums that turn to 50 this year. Coming up, we'll sit and spin at 4:30 right after emails on our question, what is the one story you will always remember about your travels? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Justin. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, gentlemen.
Hola.
So, back in middle school, I think it was during midwinter break, my parents decided to take me and my sister down to Puerto Vallarta, Mexico.
All right.
And I was like, so that was pretty fun. And except when we got off the airplane, my sister almost got kidnapped by a suspicious car that kept, I'd be like, no, I'll take you to your hotel. So they almost got her. And then her being a redhead, she wanted to get a tan. So she got SPS 15 and decided to tan in Mexico and turn into a lobster from head to toe.
So she ruined about 2 days of her trip, didn't she?
Oh, it was roughly about three. And then when she finally was ready and, like, able to, like, leave the hotel room, my dad was like, screw it, we're going to go to a nice restaurant. None were available, so we went to Hooters.
Oops. All right. Okay.
Yeah, hey, sure. So, none were available,
sure,
kids.
I called so everywhere.
So I have to take you to Hooters. Damn. Mm-hmm. Damn.
Oh, yeah. So like, 12-year-old me is thrilled as all hell to wear at Hooters right now. This was absolutely amazing. And then on top of that, you got all of, like, the, like, good hotel food, like, beach food and all that stuff. And then we decided to go, horseback riding up in mountains. And these horses looked like they haven't been fed in, like, a long-ass yeah. time. But, man, they climbed up them hills pretty good, even with the fat little kid that I was. But, you know.
they don't eat or nothing. They just keep walking up that mountain,
that's
brother.
Man. We just strap you on the back.
I do enjoy Mexico. So every time I go, because we go to Mazatlan, 9 out of 10 times we go to Mexico, right? And I do not know what it is. I don't know if they don't have a lot of immigration officers. But every time we land, it is the same mean-looking bald dude, right? And I don't expect him to remember me. I understand that. The man sees thousands of people a day. But I always end up in his line every time. But the thing is, he opens my passport, does it, and he never smiles, never says, hola, nothing, man. He just stares at you, takes your passport, opens it up. And when he looks down, I know that he sees, not only have I been to Mazatlan multiple times, but you are the guy that stamped me in. And he still looks at it like it's suspicious, still stares me down again. I'm like, brother, this is 15 years of this.
Yeah.
It's 15 years of this, and it's always yours. I think one time I had someone else stamp the passport. Like, you keep letting me in. Mm-hmm. Why the staring?
All right. I've ridden,
eventually, you're going to slip up.
I've ridden horses a couple times.
And what you do, he's going to be ready. He's been
waiting. He will. I knew it.
Yeah. In Jamaica, I took a horse up on top of a hill. That was an adventure all on its own.
How did your horse look?
Horse was not bad that time, right?
Because he ain't kidding about some of those Mexican horses. Yeah, like, was, I'm not riding that
thing. That was Ocho Rios. But the gentleman with the machine gun in the trail who was telling me to turn around, he was not messing around. So basically, I just backtracked, put back down. Different trip there at a different beach. They were renting horses that you could run on the beach.
Okay.
You know, like a movie, like, you know, run through the water.
Do you have the ability to ride a horse
that? I'm looking at these horses, and the guy's like, well, just get up on one, you know, see what you think, whatever.
Like a test drive.
In this thing, man, there's a reason they're called horse flies.
Yeah.
Because they're attracted to horses. Mm. Okay? So as soon as I get up on this thing, I realize, like, God, those things suck. I am surrounded by 50 horse flies. I'm just like, oh, my God, I jumped off that damn thing. I'm like, no way.
No thank you.
No way. I mean, they were everywhere. They were the size of birds. What is the one story you'll always remember about your travels? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Wendy. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
All right. So you have to paint the setting. It was 2003. And the time my daughter was six, my husband and I, we decided for the winter break to go to Vancouver, Canada.
All right.
And so none of us had ever taken a train. So we decided this will be a fun adventure. We'll take the train. And it starts out pretty easy. You know, we get on the train, yada, yada. We're like about 30 minutes from the Canadian border. And the train pulls off at an empty meadow. And they're like, sorry for the delay, folks. There's a, freight train coming from Canada into the U.S. And we have to wait for them to x-ray all of the cars before they can let us through. So we sat there for about 2.5 hours waiting for this 200...
Yeah, 200 car train to be scanned, sure.
Yeah, so then we finally get into Canada. So now we're 3 hours off schedule. So we get into Canada. The ride that we had, so, you know, like we had pre-done a ride or something, and it wasn't there. So we get into the customs, and we're going through. Now, my husband is an avid pot smoker, and he's been a huge pot smoker his whole life. He made sure not to bring anything with him, but he was wearing a jacket that he regularly smokes pot in. It set off the sniffing dog. So as soon as we pull in, he's immediately flagged. And, you know, my daughter is six, and she's like, what's going on? I'm like, well, they think dad's got something funny. So we're just going to have to sit here and wait. So they basically take him off to a back room with all of his luggage. He's gone for an hour and a half. And he said that they made him strip absolutely buck naked. They checked every single thing. You know, of course, he had nothing with him. But so by this point now, we are 5 hours off schedule of when we were supposed to have, you know, been checking into our room and everything, et cetera. So then going home, the train conductor shows up 6 hours late, and he's drunk.
What?
And so then they had to have him go home, and then they got a different train person to come, a different train conductor. And so we finally get heading out. As we're getting through Arlington, there had been an accident beforehand that they had hit a person who was crossing the tracks.
Oh.
And so our train had to sit there for 5.5 hours waiting to still clean up the accident scenes. And so by the time we pulled into King Street Station in Seattle, there was no liquor left on the train. There was no food left on the train. Everybody is just disgruntled as all get out. We were supposed to get home at, I want to say it was like 11:30, 12 o'clock in the afternoon. We pulled into King Street Station at 1 p.m. or 1 a.m. the following day.
Oh, God.
God.
I mean, when it, dude, when the train works, it's awesome. Like, but when it doesn't work, it's not.
What? How much time did you actually spend in Vancouver?
We were there for six days, and it happened to be the year that the Canucks were in the playoffs.
Oh, wow.
And our hotel was across the street, and we didn't know it at the time, but we were constantly the party, the Canucks, you know, the Canucks street parties are amazing.
You know why? Because they sell...
We can sit out on our balcony and just see them going crazy.
Well, they sell out the arenas, so the party takes place in the streets.
Yeah.
So if you look at all the footage from the Stanley Cup run and all that stuff back then... The whole arena is surrounded by people.
By people.
Just losing their mind. They put screens up out there and everything else. It's kind of like Party Central right there.
Yeah, it was absolutely insane. And we did this trip knowing that we weren't going to be driving anywhere. So we did this whole trip off of anything we could walk, take the public transportation or that SkyTrain that they have. And it was an amazing vacation. It was just getting there and getting home, and none of us have ever traveled by train again.
Oh, really?
No, yeah. Well, I'll tell you what else is cool. You start walking in Stanley Park.
Stanley Park, that's the name.
It's so big. It's bigger than Central Park in New York.
Right.
So you don't realize you are downtown. It's surreal just based on the fact that you're in the woods. There is a rainforest in the middle of that thing. There are trails. People, you can rent bikes. It's spectacular, but you can't believe
that you're downtown.
That you're in this major metropolitan area when you are in the middle of the goddamn woods. It's phenomenal.
Yeah, my wife and I, we go up there in March. Every time we have tried to go up there, something has come up to prevent us from going. But my kid's playing volleyball. He has a tournament up in Vancouver. And I go, all right, finally, this is our excuse to go to effing Vancouver because everyone says great things about it.
What is one story you'll always remember about your travels? 206-803-ROCK.
Yeah, I was finally going to go, and then the pandemic hit.
Mm-hmm. How many different places? Ireland?
Well, right. Basically, we were just going to go to Canada just because I hadn't been yet.
Yeah.
But the trip I had planned was Ireland over to Portugal.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. And then the opening day at Dodger Stadium.
Correct.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Diamond Club passes. Right. He's going to meet Magic Johnson. Mm-hmm.
What is the one story you'll always remember about your travels? 206-803-ROCK.
Magic Johnson.
Magic Johnson.
Yeah, I keep thinking just Ireland. And then when you go through the whole thing, I'm like, that's brutal. That sucks.
Yeah.
Hello, Emily. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bicholas.
Hola.
Hey, guys. So back in like 2003, I went on a cruise with my mom down to the Caribbean, and we were coming back. It was a day at sea, so, you know, no land around for quite some time. And sitting by the pool, drinking, of course, and up the staircase flies this little fat bird, and like little sparrow, and smacked me square in the face, kind of wobbled in the air, and then like proceeded to just flutter off into oblivion. And I was like, did anybody else see that? People around were like, yeah. Thought it might have been the margarita I was drinking, because I think it was my third one. But no, I got hit in the face at the middle of the sea by a little fat sparrow. And that sticks in my head, and I'm like, that's awesome.
Was this sparrow noticeably fat? Because you keep dropping that in there. Like, if I looked at the sparrow, that's a fat
thing
sparrow.
Was round. He was round with a beak and little tiny legs. That was it. Apparently they nest on the boat.
Yes.
Like, when they get into the port, they'll nest, and then they kind of come out, you know, like party drinkers will come out at night or when there's a day at sea and
hit people in the face.
Okay. Yeah, they're worried about bringing in fruit and all these different things.
But there's a bird that from wherever.
Yeah, wherever you picked it up along the way, and it's going to make a new home.
Yeah, it's just there.
Wherever you're just
doing its thing.
I'll tell you what, man. When we went on that cruise a couple of years ago, it's a European cruise, right? So slightly different rules, but, you know, decent time, whatever. Everybody smokes. Nobody smokes Marlboro Reds. And a lot of people, all the smokers, you get to know each other. There's a smoking section, right? And this is a couple from the Czech Republic. And I'd been talking to him for a few nights in a row. And finally, the guy is just like, hey, man, can I try Marlboro Red? I'm like, sure. Because it's like, you know, hear about it in the U.S., like Jack Daniels, Marlboro. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, yeah, man, have one. And he takes this drag, and he gets this big smile on his face, and then butts the thing out. He's like, no more.
Oh, just took one drag.
Yeah, and it took him. So they were smoking these things that look like Virginia Slims. I couldn't tell you what it is. It's something from the Czech Republic, but definitely kind of a candy-ass cigarette. So, yeah, he took a big-ass drag off of it like he would his cigarette. I think it was the difference, man, and it hit him. But one thing about Europeans. So we only had one day that you're not on land, right? And it was the last day taking you back to Barcelona or whatever. So you're at the pool all day. Europeans do not have a body image problem.
Oh, no. No.
Maybe they should, but they don't. And
just Speedos.
Oh, my God, dude. And it did not matter the size. There was one guy in particular, like, he's just burned into my brain. Big bald dude. The crazy thing about it was he's not European. He was from Miami. But he's one of those dudes that's like, hey, man, you know, when in Rome. So he rolled
up. Yeah, why not?
In these white Speedos. But when he unfolds his towel and lays it over this lounge chair, he's facing us, but his belly covered the front. So it looked like he was naked. Like, we knew he wasn't naked, but we're just like, ah. I mean, huge boobs, man. Hair. I was just like, this guy
is rich.
He what is super rich.
What is the one story you'll always remember about your travels? 206-803-ROCK.
Super, super rich, yeah. Hello, Donnie. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, hola, guys. How you doing today?
Hola. Doing great, man.
All right, I'll just paint the picture real quick like everybody else has. If you guys have ever been over to Idaho, you know the panhandle of Idaho is a beautiful place to be, good to travel through. Well, when I was young, back in the early 80s, mid-80s, I used to live over in Montana, in Bozeman, Montana. And I had a friend that worked for the railroad that lived in Osborne, Idaho, and he told me one weekend he had to go back home. So he said, you want to go with me? I said, sure. So we went back to over to Wallace, Idaho. And, of course, we had the car was full of, you know, 10 guys in a little Honda Civic, you can imagine, from that era. And we had nothing but alcohol and beer, and we're driving over during winter. And when we got there, they took me down to Wallace, Idaho. And before I-90 was fixed and up above Wallace, it used to run through the town, and you'd see, like, hundreds of semis in line there. So he said, you know, we're going to go down to Wallace, Idaho, stick with me, do what I do. So he took me down into what Wallace has a brothel district, like it used to have a brothel district. So we went up to these doors in these two-level old brick buildings, and, you know, there'd be like 10 guys, 12 guys, you know, standing outside the door. They'd knock on the door, and a little metal slat would open up, and then, you know, a lady, the madame of the house, she would say, how many's out there, you know? So in our group, we had like 15 people. Okay, come on up. You walk up the stairs, you go into a nice little sitting room, and it's like old antique furniture and stuff. And a lady that barely had anything on, of course, it's a brothel, she would come out with a plate full of shot glasses, however many guys were there. She walked around giving everybody a shot. You'd get a little shot, relax, and then they would bring out about 20 women that, you know, didn't barely have anything on, and you just got to pick and choose, you know, like whatever type of fruit you wanted, however juicy you wanted it, it was right there. My friends hooked me up because I was like 15 and a half, 16 at the time.
Yes.
Yeah. So, and it was just really super cool. And then I.
Yeah, if you're 15, you're in a brothel, I bet it is.
Yeah. And she took me to the back room, you know, and what they did is the room was really cool looking, little small little room. They'd light a cigarette, put it in the ashtray, and she said, hey, you have until this cigarette burns out. And then they get you undressed. They take a little basin of water. They wash you all up, get you all cleaned up, you know, and then you do what you do with them, you know, whatever you pay for. And then when you're done, you'd come out, you know, and you could have another shot. This time you had to pay for it. Or you could get another woman, you know, or leave, right? And they still have those brothels up as a museum. And what happened was is the whole town, the law enforcement agencies, everybody knew they were there. They donated so much money to the police department, the school district, to the area. Nobody dared shut them down. It was a mining town, and it reduced people from fighting and stuff like that. So it really did serve a purpose. And then I think it was like 1983, somewhere in there, they got word that the feds were coming in to raid, so they up and left like in a hurry, and they left all the brothels the way they were. I mean, like the ladies were just grabbing stuff and running out the door. So that's my story from Bozeman to Wallace, Idaho.
Wow. All right, I got to ask, were you at the Oasis room?
The Oasis room, that sounds really familiar, like yeah. One of them. It's been a number of years since then. I'm 57 now, so it's been a long time. But we hit two of them that night, and I was able to enjoy the company of a couple of the ladies there.
It says this one was the last one operating until 91.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The Oasis room, all right.
Well, I just was like, that sounds crazy. And he's right. Like, they have a museum there and everything else, and, you know.
Go learn the history of prostitution.
It's kind
of
cool, man.
Or read the Bible.
I mean, that's the whole joke about the billiards, right? What? What's it? The Western movie where, like, they're going out there to find, they're going to go hunt somebody down. Morgan Freeman's in it. Unforgiven.
Unforgiven. Okay, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's always the joke, because the main hotel also has billiards. But, like, they're like, well, there hasn't been a billiards table here in a decade. Right. So, like, I was going to say, like, sometimes I'll go get a drink if I'm up in Stanwood at that old hotel, which clearly had whorehouses above it, too. So I was like, billiards? And they're like, yeah, sure, whatever you want to call it.
Okay.
But that's what it was. But I don't know. I love the idea of that, walking in somewhere and being like, here to play pool.
I brought my own cue.
What is the one story you'll always remember about your travels? 206-803-ROCK.
Well, I mean, you know, when you put a little chalk on your cue stick, it's kind of like putting a condom on.
Yeah, it's just like that. Exactly.
More people are texting in. Went to Wallace, Idaho to go to a brothel when I was 21, 1988.
See?
Yeah.
Was that the closest one, I guess? I mean, considering that Portland does not do that, I'm sure they have something going on.
I think if you've got a town that just turns a blind eye to it, you're safer as a client.
Yeah.
And that's a town in the middle of nowhere.
Right. They're like, look, dude, we know what goes on. We turn a blind eye, go have fun. We know why you're here.
But if you're also in an old historical saloon in a town that's got, you know, a lot of history to it, more than likely upstairs there were rooms.
Absolutely.
And most of the time in those places, that was an opportunity for you. Because I've been to, there are about two or three of those bars that I've, one in New Orleans, which was absolutely a brothel back in the day, which is in the French Quarter.
Which one?
Cannot remember the name
of the song, The Land of the Rising Sun.
Right.
And that song is literally about a brothel in New Orleans.
In New Orleans, right. Yeah.
And none of that stuff is ever, I mean, as far as the interior or the exterior, all that stuff is as it was.
Yes, indeed.
San Diego's got a couple of those places,
too. Oh, yeah.
We were walking in the Gas Lamp District, which is hundreds of years old, considering the West Coast. And so what was the one guy?
And then the military installation.
Right. You bring the Navy there, it's like, okay, this is...
So, I mean, you're right. I'm sure Portland, there is brothels. You just don't know about them. There's strip clubs,
right,
which are different. But like nowadays, I feel like any major city, if you do some research, you'll find hookers.
If you want to find hookers, go to the concierge of your hotel. I mean, when we went to Miami, man, the concierge, you know, and if there's anything I can get for you, please let us know during your stay. So my wife takes the bags up. I look at him, and he immediately points to me like, cocaine? I'm like, yeah, man. So he arranges it, gave him the cash. And keep in mind, this is like a white glove hotel. So very, but we were staying there one night just to say we stayed there. And the funny thing is, I can't even tell you what it's called now, but we had to split a room with another couple. Like, that's how expensive it was. We're like, F it. Let's just stay here one night. And, so the concierge, very prim, very proper, but when he noticed that I was letting everyone else go up, as soon as we made eye contact, already pointing at me, got it done, man.
Yes.
And it's almost like tableside service.
Yeah.
It was amazing. You'd be like, do you want it delivered to the room? Would you? I'm like, no, man, I'll just pick it up from you. It was like, oh, it won't be from me. It'll be from Benny over there, who's the man. Wait, there you go, Benny, yeah. I'm like, okay, so the guy just waited. He knows what's going on. He's like, yes, sir. Is there anything else I can get for you? Like, you got, like, a coupon to Pizza Hut? I mean, like, you asked for it, dude.
Well, they, dude, look, I mean, everybody knows out here, 99, which is, like, streetwalkers.
Yeah.
But, like, where I was a janitor at the AFL-CIO, that's 16th and I Street, right? So the next block up is literally the White House. But then the next couple blocks down are, like, what was it, the Mayflower? Like, just the nicest hotels in D.C., which is where all the out-of-town guests, all the politicians people stay. And, I mean, you want to talk about, like, attractive hookers. I mean, it was unbelievable.
They have call girls.
Correct. And I mean, there was this one street where the cops would chase them up to the other side, to the other, and it would just be limos. It was unbelievable.
What is the one story you'll always remember about your travels? We got your emails coming up next to the men's room at KISW.com.